Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. How we love your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm stuck on the love of God. I can't get away from it. I can't change the sermon. C.H. Spurgeon pastored that huge church in London. He went out evangelistically to preach. He had a guest speaker come and fill in while he was gone. And for the 5 days he was gone, people came to Jesus every night in that great church in London. And he got back and he said, "What is he preaching? What is his subject matter?" He said, "He's preaching John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He said, "Okay, what did he preach the next night?" He said, "John 3:16. Well, what did he preach all throughout this whole meeting? With people coming to Christ, said John 3:16. Can you say amen? Now to us, John 3:16 is a given. For God so loved the world. It's a given. We've been there. We've done that. Now let's go on to something deeper. No, let's don't go any further for a little while. Let's back up. Amen. If you try to go deep into the gifts of the Spirit and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you have the gift of speaking in other tongues and you have not love, it becomes empty. A lot of noise without any substance, without any real purpose. It becomes sounding brass, yes, sir, and tinkling cymbal. Can you say amen? If we have faith, and there seems to be today an emphasis on faith, because faith gets what we want from God. It reaches out into the invisible, and it does that. Amen. But it doesn't get what you want. It gets what God wills and purposes. Amen. Amen. It doesn't begin with believing. It begins with bowing. Amen. Can you say amen? And when you fall in love with the Lord, your heart becomes softened. Amen. Amen. If you're still trying to twist God's arm, I'd say good luck, but it's going to take more than luck. Can you say, man, you're not going to win. I can just see an arm wrestling match. Some of us with our faith trying to arm wrestle God for what we want materially. Amen. Listen, if the kingdom gets first and God is first in your heart, then whatever he gives you, you'll have it with contentment. And if you're content with such things as you have, you're richer than the person who's always suffering in the prison of want. I like what Shambach said one time about back in the days of the tent meeting. He preached, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," like this. The Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want. Because if he's all you want, you're going to have everything you need. Can you say amen? The Bible said, "Delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Why? Because the first desire is to be able to spend time in his presence, to get to know him, to serve him, to do his will, to discover his purpose. There's no greater joy than serving Jesus. If you're on the fence today, I'm going to tell you, you're Mr. In Between. And Burl Ives sung a song that made a hit. I don't know who wrote it, about Mr. In Between. Mr. In Between, he said, makes a feller mean. Amen. You got this fine home, but you're not a happy camper. Can you say amen? You got things and you acquire things, but you don't have peace and joy in your heart. You have godliness, but you don't have contentment. And therefore, you don't have great gain or true riches. I'm going to change mics because we got a little short and it's not me this time. Hallelujah. Amen. It might just be the fan blowing. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we got something going on back here. Listen carefully today. That's why we want to talk about the kind of love that God has for us. I'm praying. I'm not just hoping. I'm praying and believing that there will be people who will reciprocate. That if we begin to understand and appreciate and appropriate God's love in our life, that there'll be some people in this room that'll start loving him back for loving you like he loves you. See, God has a commandment. It's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everybody say, that's a full-blown commitment. That there's no room in your heart for any other loves but love for God. It's the predominant love of your life. And compared to all other loves, it's almost like the love you have for your wife or for your children is like hate comparatively. The love for God is to supersede that. And that don't mean you love your family any less. In fact, my love for God demands that I love this lady right here.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
My love for God demands that I love you.
Amen.
Unconditionally. And keep loving you even when you fail me. And this works both ways. Amen. You're supposed to love me even when I fail you too. Amen. The Bible said, if a man love me, he'll what? Keep my commandments. And this is my commandment, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Yes.
Praise God. If you love me, you're going to love your neighbor. If you love me, you're going to love your enemy.
Amen.
I didn't say you're going to have warm feelings toward that enemy. Amen. You're only going to have a hot flash. But listen, I like what Dave Wilkerson said. Love is not a feeling. Love is not what you feel, it's what you do. And the Bible said, do good to them that despitefully use you. Can you say amen? Do good to them. Vengeance is whose? Who's that belong to? It's God's. Can you say amen? If you want to keep your joy, let God take care of all of that. He knows how to do it. He knows when to do it. Amen. Praise God. I like the way David talked. David, there was a man who seen David's sin and failure, and he just hated David. Amen. God had forgiven David, but there are people who hadn't forgiven David. God will forgive you, but there's people who won't forgive you. Amen. Pray for them. Keep praising him. Don't worry about them. It's not between you and them and him. It's between you and him. And get it right with him and don't worry about them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you'll keep your joy and you'll keep sweet in your spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The devil wants to take your joy. And one of the joy stealers is that people will not forgive you. And this man, David came with his posse, his entourage, his captain of war, and all his warriors. And David, the restored king, is walking along, and there's a man who is picking up rocks and throwing them at David. I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between the President of the United States, and I doubt if someone threw a rock at the president that they would use deadly force. I don't think they'd open up on him with their Glock and their automatic weapons, but they would certainly subdue him and he would be put in prison. But a king was different. A king, all he had to do was just nod his head and you could lose your head. There didn't have to be a trial. You had no rights in the presence of a king. A king in that day had absolute authority, unquestionable. You may not like it, but you couldn't question it. David had that kind of authority. But David had experienced mercy from the Lord. Amen. And this guy was throwing rocks at him and throwing dust at him and cursing him. And his captain of war said, I will shut his mouth. And all David would have to do was give the nod. And this guy would have walked over and lopped his head off. And no one would have questioned David's authority because he was disrespecting the king of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And David said this, listen, let him alone. Let him go ahead and throw his rocks and cast dust and curse me. By letting him alone, letting God take care of that, showing mercy, he said, it may be that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing. Now, I've had some people not cuss me, but in so many words, curse me recently. And I didn't ask God to get them. Let them alone. It may be that God will requite me good for their cursing. The more they want to hurt me, I believe the more God is going to show his favor. And that really eats them up. Amen. If you want to drive your enemy crazy, amen, pull your chair up to God's table. The Bible said he would prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. Can you say amen? Right. Oh, now that really makes them mad. There's two interpretations to that in Psalm 23, where it said the Lord prepares me a table in the presence of mine enemies. The first is foremost and most accurate, but there's two meanings to that. The first meaning is that when the shepherd took his sheep up to a plateau, he went before them. And he looked for holes in the ground where poisonous snakes lived. If he saw a hole, he would take his staff and he would drive it out and kill it and make sure there was no live snake on that plateau. The next thing he would do is scan that area for a wolf or a lion. And if he saw a wolf or a lion, he would take his shepherd's rod, thy rod and thy staff. Amen. They comfort me because that means my shepherd is protecting me. Can you say, man, my shepherd is keeping me? I don't have to defend myself. Can you say, man, my shepherd is taking care of me. His rod and staff give me comfort because he knows, amen, how to use them in my behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. The shepherd's rod was about this long. It was made out of hard wood and about big around like a billy club. He could throw it at a hair's breadth. That's why David was so good with the stone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he would literally throw it and bonk a wolf on the head. And the wolf would holler and run while he ran at him with his staff. Thy rod and thy staff covered me. He would clear that plateau of anything that would harm the sheep. Amen. And then, once it was safe, he would bring them on. Now, the table, flat top. Everybody's table means a flat top. Thou preparest a plateau where we can graze. Hallelujah. Amen. And you've driven off all that would hurt us. You've driven off all that would harm us.
Amen.
Thou preparest a table before me. There's enemies that would come down and take sheep from the fold, but they dare not. Because the shepherd has prepared the table.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
There's another meaning. And it's a good meaning too. To that same scripture. In ancient times when someone would be invited to dinner. When they would meet them at the door. And they would have perfumed oil. And they would take that perfumed oil. And they would anoint their head. They would bring them into the table. Amen. Thou preparest the table before me. And thou what? Anointest my head with oil. Amen. It was to honor the guest. And either way, David said, listen, God will bless me for that cursing today. I do not have to retaliate. I do not. Oh, sometimes you have to speak up if someone's in the wrong and you are in the right. Amen. I believe sometimes you're obligated to speak up when someone is telling a lie about you. Amen. But I'm talking about seeking vengeance. Vengeance is not mine. Vengeance belongs to God.
Amen.
Can you say amen? And the Bible went so far as to say, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean the enemies of the nation of Israel, the enemies of God's purpose. It means that person that offended you. Your ego was damaged. Your pride was hurt. You want to lash out. And the Bible said, if I whip your enemy, don't rejoice. Don't take pleasure in someone else's pain. It's getting quiet in here. You better quit that taking pleasure in someone else's pain. If you keep doing that, the same judgment you meet without, it's reciprocal stuff. It's meted to you again. See, we have a footprint in down under in Australia. We had a built-in audience when we went on this little bitty radio station down under. They call in to North Florida to request certain songs because they're listening as computer streams down under. And so I used to say on the broadcast sometime to you that are down under in Australia, we welcome all of you people in America, anywhere else, but you down under in Australia, g'day, mate. Amen. We welcome you too. Put a shrimp on the barbie or whatever you're going to do with that shrimp.
Yeah.
Amen. But because of the footprint we have down under in Australia, amen, we're so, I don't know, sometimes it just overwhelms me. Amen. The more we reach out, Sister Venable, the more we try to reach others, the more God takes this word and takes it out, the more the devil tries to take our vision, to take our joy, to get our eyes off of what God is doing and on what people are doing. Amen. And the persecutions pick up. Amen. When he started putting pins in that board up there, It's like somebody somewhere took a little doll of me and started sticking pins in it. Can you say amen? Not that it's going to do any good. Amen. Unless I get bitter. Unless I get discouraged. Unless I get distracted. Can you say amen? I do have a vision. But I lose that. I have to recapture it. Can you say amen? Amen. I lose it because there are people that are simply unfaithful. And I get my eye off of the faithful onto the unfaithful. Can you say amen? And God says, no, quit looking at the unfaithful. You'll always have unfaithful people around. Get your eyes on the faithful people. The faithful may be less than the unfaithful, but it doesn't matter. Amen to God. It makes a difference to us, and we'll always have to fight this. But remember this, amen, it makes no difference to God to save by me or by few. When we drove up today, I said, Lord, bless the faithful few, because it doesn't matter to you. Can you say amen? Did you see the Brooklyn Tabernacle place and choir singing or wherever they were? I looked at that crowd and I said, dear Lord God in heaven, what an outfit they, what an outfit.
What a
hitting. Well, yeah, that many people. Oh, Lord, help me. Amen. I don't know if I'm ready for that many people problems. Can you say amen? This is probably about all I can handle right here. But God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I came to an end of myself the other day. Didn't take me long to get there. I'm kind of like the woman in the hospital that things didn't go the way she wanted. And she said, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And her husband, he'd heard this so many times. He said, honey, please don't. There can't be much left. Then you say, amen. You've given away so many pieces of it. Amen. Listen, it don't take me long to get to the end of myself. I can get there very quickly. Can you say amen? I can preach under the anointing and feel like I'm 25 years old for about 30 minutes. But after that 30 minutes, I feel like an old dish rag. An old wrung out dish rag. My brethren here bring me orange juice. Amen. To perk me back up, because they've seen me walk back here to say something. This young man back here behind the burning bush. Amen. I walk back here and I do a little pirouette. And that's because my legs are getting wobbly after I preach sometimes, and my sugar level's dropping, and I haven't eaten anything yet normally, because I generally don't on Sunday, and I'm not supposed to tell you that. But anyway, God will reward me because he knows my heart today. Amen. Amen. It's easy to come to an end of yourself.
Yes,
everything begins. You know, if all hell breaks loose when you start really making forward motion and momentum for God, then all heaven has got to break loose. Amen. At the same time, I'm expecting all heaven to break loose simply because all hell is breaking loose. Amen. Everything, it seems that the pressure is more than it's ever been. And without the joy of the Lord, I couldn't take it. I'm going to tell you right now. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I found out a secret. Amen. I know this in my head, but I had to say it with my mouth. The other day, I just came to an end of myself. I felt sick all over. I felt sick at heart, sick in body. I just felt weak, like I've never hardly felt weak in such a long time. And I remember riding in the truck, and I remember just saying, I wanted to pull over and lay down in the seat. I just wanted to pull over by the road and just lay down in the seat. I didn't know if I could just make it home. And I remember saying what the word of the Lord said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I remember the scripture in the book of Isaiah. Amen. To them that have no might, he increases strength. And I remember the words of the Apostle Paul, when I am weak, then am I made strong. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I don't have to be strong to be made strong. Hallelujah. But I do have to acknowledge that when I am weak, amen, there is one greater than I am. Amen. So David said, not if, my friend, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Lead me. And I thought he was talking to a brother or a sister. No, he was talking directly to God. He said, God, I'm going to need your help when I get in that condition. So when you see me in that condition, and aren't you glad that God doesn't draw back when our faith wavers? God doesn't draw back. God draws near. Can you say? Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, God draws near. When you don't feel him and you can't see him and the devil says you're not pleasing him because you're not standing in perfect faith. You don't need perfect faith. You need to trust his perfect faithfulness. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. He prepares me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Can you say amen? He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And they hate it. They hate it. They hate to see you filled with joy. You know people that are not happy with me. I'm going to tell you, they're not even happy with themselves. Amen. They're not happy in life.
Amen, brother.
A man with Limburger cheese on his upper lip, the whole world stinks. Amen?
Amen.
And we got a lot of people around with Limburger cheese on their upper lip.
Yes, sir.
Hold a rose and say, smell this. And they say, shoo wee, that stinks. $100 an ounce perfume. They said, P.U. Amen? Because everything stinks. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the waters of a troubled sea who cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But great peace have they which love thy law. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God is so good. He prepares us a table in the presence of our enemies. I want to read two scriptures before we close real quick. This kind of love that we're loved with is the kind of love that causes us to quit looking at what people have done to us.
Yeah.
And start looking afresh and anew to what Jesus has done for us. If somebody can do something to me that takes away my vision of what he's done for me, then I'm not looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of my faith. Because to look unto Jesus doesn't mean to glance at him. It means to set your gaze upon him.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean to just look to him for strength initially, but for something that will stimulate your love for him and will satisfy your desire for his love. Don't question his love when people are ugly and mean to you. Don't question his love when things don't go the way you want it to. Can you say amen? If Paul had questioned his love, he would have never had the strength, because he wouldn't have been able to say, I can do all things, if he had questioned his love. But he didn't question his love. They stripped him to the waist. And they whipped him with 39 stripes each time. 40 or above, people went into shock and died. This was not corporal punishment to kill somebody. This was to beat them with literally within an inch of their life. They did that 5 times. 5 times. What in the world kept him going? He couldn't doubt God's love during that whipping. Some of us question God's love because we don't keep our eyes on the cross. Looking unto Jesus in a particular, peculiar way, according to Scripture. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, consider him. Here's the peculiarness and the particular part of that. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be what? Weary and do what? Faint in your own mind. Some people only serve God if everything goes good. Honey, you can't. That'd be like joining the army to go fight an enemy, but you will only fight if everything is perfect. If you're under a shade tree in a bunker that is air conditioned and bulletproof. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might be a good soldier to him that called him. Can you say amen? Everybody wants to wear the uniform. But very few people want to actually see combat on a battlefield. Can you say amen?
Amen?
This is not about wearing the uniform. This is about engaging in genuine spiritual warfare. I have to remind myself all the time, my argument is not with flesh and blood. It goes beyond that. They don't know it, but we're supposed to know it. The people that are trying to hurt and harm you don't know that they're being used of the devil. But we ought to know that they are being used of the devil. And instead of taking it so personal, we should understand that we have an enemy that fights what he fears. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're no threat to the devil, then you got smooth sailing. And you ought to get right before you leave here today. Can you say amen? Because all, without exception, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus, without exception, everybody say live godly. I don't mean be the chameleon. You know the chameleon? We got them here in Florida, the little green chameleon things. And you put them on brown, they turn brown. Put them on black, they turn dark gray. They can't get, you know, they do the best they can. Can you say amen? They're straining to get gray. Amen. You put them on yellow, they try to look, they just pale. They try to blend in with the environment. Put them on plaid, they go crazy. They just their head explodes, I think, if you put them on plaid. They can't process all of that. Amen. Some Christians are trying, like comedians, to blend in. We're God's secret agents. Amen. We're Clairol Christians. Only our Creator knows for sure. Can you say amen? No, that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for people that will be true followers of Jesus. And if you're a true follower of Jesus, the devil is going to mark you. Because without saying a word, if you follow Jesus, amen, people are going to notice that you are different.
Amen.
You'll be like a city. Jesus said that is set on a hill. You don't have to try to shine. Amen. Just follow a different master. Just walk away when the dirty jokes start. You don't have to reprimand anybody. Just don't participate. And they're going to call you holier than thou. They're going to call you self-righteous. They're going to nail you about something. Can you say amen? Well, the Bible said when it's for righteousness' sake. Amen. When it's for righteousness' sake. When men cast out your name as evil. Had it happened recently. And they tell all manner of lies about you. And they do it because you're following me. Hallelujah. He said rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. That means he prepares you a table. Pull your chair up to that table. He spreads that table. Jesus has a table spread, brother. Where the saints of God are fed. And to the hungry he calleth now. Come and dine. And he does it in the presence of your enemies. Amen. The Bible said Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And you know what Paul said? Amen. He didn't have to go in a lion's den like Daniel. He had people want to tear him all to pieces. They wanted to kill him. Several men banded together and said, we won't eat or drink until he's dead. We're going to kill him. They were committed to his murder. And by night, they took a big woven basket and put old Paul in it. You have to know when to hold him and know when to fold him. Say amen. He wasn't running from the devil. He's just using wisdom. If there's a man outside with a shotgun calling me out, I'm going out that exit. Y'all better make a way right here. Well, where's your faith? I got more than faith. I got wisdom. I'm trusting if I do everything I know to do, God, if he runs around the corner now, there's nowhere else to go. Well, then I'm going to trust the Lord to take care of me or take me home. I'll just tell you what I would do. Now, you'd probably go out and get blew away. We'll give you a great funeral. But they did put Paul in a basket. Did they not? Remember when the devil told Jesus, jump off a pinnacle? Prove he was the Son of God. And he said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. But don't do something stupid in the name of faith. Had a man ask me at the old Holy Church of God, do you lock this church at night? I saw he's looking weird all through the service, but I've seen a lot of that. It didn't really bother me till the end of the service. Pretty normal. Amen. He said, do you lock this church? Because I preached on faith that night. He said, do you lock this church? I said, you better lock it. We better lock it. I said, if it ain't tied down. And so I went by the old church the other day. They had a big old base thing out. One of them great big ones. Look, it weighed 100 pounds with some kind of plant in it. And they had a chain around it. They had a chain big enough to pull a dump truck with around the base out front. And I thought, yeah, this is the neighborhood. This is the hood. Amen. We was in the hood for 25 years. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God took care of us. God took care of us. Truck man came to beat me up one night. Told his wife she wouldn't go drinking with him. He got mad at me because she got saved. He got drunk one night and said, I'm going to get the hold of that preacher and I'm going to whoop him. And I won't tell you all the rest he said, but anyway, he was going to whoop me. I hadn't been whooped in a long time. And I'm too old for whooping now, but he was going to whoop me. So he went to somebody's house and called somebody out. But it wasn't my house. He was too drunk to find the address. I don't know who he called out. Somebody probably whooped him. He probably got the wrong house. Lady told me, are you okay, Brother Venable? I said, sure, why? Did my husband come to your house last night? I said, no, ma'am, why? And he said he was going to go up there and beat you up. And I thought, well, he didn't make it here. Amen. Was his knuckles? Was his knuckles skint? Or did he have knots on his head? he might have went to the wrong house. Amen. Called Brother Couch out. He don't play that. Can you say amen? That's right. Devil get on him. He get him off. He knows how to resist the devil. Amen. Put some knots on his head. Come to whoop me. Couldn't find my address. Too drunk to find the house. God is good.
Yes, he is.
His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Man set himself to kill me, called me up, said, I'm going to find you. I'm going to kill you. Yeah, he's serious. And left it on our answering service and cursed my family and talked all kinds of the filthiest stuff you ever heard. We had to change our phone number. Amen. And I called the sheriff's department. I said, there's a man says he's going to kill me. And I got it on tape here. And he's threatened my life. He says he's going to murder me. So she said, well, nothing we can do about it unless something happened. I said, okay, let me get this straight. If he kills me, you can arrest him. But you can't even let him know that you're watching him or that you know he's going to kill me. And if I die, you're coming after him? No. If you threaten the president, be careful now. Be careful what I say. If you threaten the president of the United States, they'll grab you. Amen. You threaten a preacher down on the corner, or you personally, you can. Back then, I don't know. Anyway, so I used to come out of church. I'd come out there late, and I thought, you know, if he wants me, but they'll walk in a church now and blow you away. They tried to kill Hagee in his church, shot at him and missed. Amen. 6 feet away and missed him. Yeah, unloaded the gun and missed him. And John is a big target. Can you say, and let's face it, he's a big man. Of course, now you see a guy standing over in the corner while John's preaching. You know what they had to do with James Dobson when they held an anti-abortion rally in Washington, D.C. and Pray for the Nation? His staff persuaded, he didn't want to do it, but his staff said, listen, there's so many death threats against you. Just for, not for trying to be ugly, be mean, just stand up for something Jesus taught or the Bible teaches. Amen. They made him wear a bulletproof vest underneath his shirt and tie because someone may try to kill you just for standing up and talking about Jesus. Amen. The Bible said, people, if they hated me, guess what? They're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. For the servant is not greater than his Lord. And all those that live godly. Now, if you're compromised like the chameleon, amen, nobody's going to be offended by you. If you blend in, nobody's going to. I don't mean being holier than thou. I never did like that attitude. I don't mean being self-righteous. Some of the people that acted holier than thou are backsliding right now. Can you say amen? Because when a man says, behold, I stand, he better take heed lest he fall. Listen to me very carefully today. The devil wants to distract us from what God has for us to accomplish. He wants to defraud us out of what God wants to bless us with. He wants us to lose the vision. But Paul said, in the midst of so many things happening negative in his life, he said, I love this about Paul. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Can you say amen? I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. After they stoned him and they had threw enough stones at him until he looked like he wasn't breathing and he was bloody and covered with those rocks. They were satisfied that he was dead. Whether God raised him from the dead is not clear. Or whether he just wasn't dead and he revived. The point is, after that kind of hurt and that kind of harm, amen, what does he do next? The next thing you hear from him is not that he's off questioning God, licking his wounds, tail tucked between his legs, wondering why God didn't stop that. Amen. The next thing you hear, it said, and he was found preaching in another city. Can you say amen? That man with knots on his head, that man with scars on his face, was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he said, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. The devil can't tell me God don't love me.
Amen,
every time something goes wrong, the devil's going to tell you God don't love you.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to try to tell you that at the expense of all that's went right in your life.
Yeah.
But this big wrong is going to crowd out all the right and all the good. God loves you.
Yeah.
And you have to accept it because of what he did on the cross, not what's happening in a fallen world, in a faulty body. I mean, live in this world, almost all of you, a few people from outer space, but that's okay. We love you anyway. Listen, in this world, say it with me, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Never seen it in a promise box, never seen it in a promise book. I seen a book the other day, God's Promises to Women. That promise wasn't in there, but lady, be assured. In this world you shall have tribulation.
Amen.
That's a promise. The word is thelpsis. Sir, you're going to have pressure. You're going against the grain, against the wind. Pressure. Anguish. Literally anguish. I'm not like an armadillo. I don't have that exoskeleton. I don't take criticism well. It's not that I'm, you know, too proud. It's just that it hurts. Everybody say it hurts. I've never looked forward to root canal. I don't care about the Novocaine. I went in one time with an abscessed tooth. And the dentist gave me a shot. Boy, it's hurting so bad I didn't even feel the shot. And he said, can you feel this? And when he tapped that tooth, man, it felt like my head was going to explode. So he gave me another shot. He's got me two shots now. I mean, my nose is numb. My lips are numb. I can't talk. My tongue is numb. And he does that little ting on that tooth, like my head's going to explode. He said, can you feel that? He said, well, I can't pull it. I can't numb it. And he just looked at me. And I thought, if you can't numb it, don't you be messing with it then. Not with an abscess like this. And I asked him, I said, why don't you give me some? I said it this way, I said, why don't you give me some antibiotic? You give me some antibiotic, it'll make the swelling go down in my tooth. And he's listening to me. The guy's listening. I'm going to pay him, and he's doing what I'm telling him to do. I said, maybe if the FTS goes down, then you can pull my tooth. He said, that sounds like a good idea. I mean, he didn't say it that way. Amen. That sounds like a good idea. So he gave me antibiotics. Sure enough, it went down. And I got to thinking about that. And I thought, you know something? I'm not going back there. Amen. I need tires on my car. And I need a painless tooth extraction. I'm going to an oral surgeon. They're going to stick a little needle, in my arm. They're going to say count backwards from 10, starting with 10. And before I get to 7, I'm going to be in another world. I'm going to be gone, honey. And when they brought out those tools, those tools, I saw a little hammer. And I thought, I'm so glad I'm not going to be here when he picks up that hammer. Can you say amen? I mean, you know, if it breaks off and they need to chip the rest of it out, I saw a little thing look like a chisel. I said, a hammer and a chisel? Oh, I'm so glad that I'm not going to be here when he does this. I saw some big clamp look like they're going to pull the tooth out of a Brahma bull or something. I don't know, big old clampy thing. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for what they're going to give me. I don't even know what they call it, but it's going to put me in another world. Amen. I need tires, but I need a painless... I used to run on Maypops anyway. Praise. You know what Maypop tires? That's another brand. It means they're so slick they may just pop. You don't have to run over anything. Amen. But it was so nice to go to sleep and let him do all that stuff he had to do and get in there and scrape my gums and get out all the abscess that was left in there and put stuff in it and stitch them up. And then when he's all done, and I'm so groggy, I don't know hardly where I am, to wake me up. And then have Pamela lead me to the car. Lay me again with my old bloody grin. And then lay me down and let me drool in the back seat while she drives me home. Amen. And say, it's done. It's out. I don't like pain. You can tell. I'm not big on pain. Amen. But I'll tell you something. There's a pain that goes beyond the physical pain. It's the pain of a broken heart. And many of you know that pain. You know that brokenness. But I want you to know that God loves you. Amen. Get your focus off of the hurt and get it on Him hurting for you on the cross. Yes. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. I wanted to get away from people. I heard a preacher at one of these pastors' meetings where 60 or 70 pastors gather for a luncheon. And he stood up and he said, you know, pastoring would be a great job if it wasn't for the people. But pastoring's all about people. It's about the flock of God. It's about feeding the flock of God. And not just feeding the flock of God, I've discovered, but grazing with the flock of God. Can you say amen? Because a pastor never becomes anything more than a sheep that has been put in a leadership position. But that pastor, even though he's a shepherd, he's a sheep. He hurts like anybody else. He feels like anybody else. He fails like anybody else. Amen. That doesn't mean he lives a double standard. It means that he's human. And we have this treasure, church, in earthen vessels. Amen. How many still got your earthen vessel? You're not glorified yet. Amen. Okay, most of you. Praise God. All right. We never get 100%. Amen. One of these days I'm going to say, we're giving away Pontiac G6s like Oprah. How many want one? Somebody's going to sure enough sit there and say, I ain't raising my hand to nothing. But Brother Taylor going to get him one. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's gonna just, hallelujah. Amen. You go in the army, you don't volunteer for anything. You keep your hand down. Volunteers. We need volunteers. Until you get in God's arm. It's a 100% volunteer arm. He will not draft you. He will not induct you. You've got to love Him enough. Amen. To commit yourself to follow Jesus Christ. And the day you do, you're going to experience some hard situations. The Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is preparing a table for you today. And he's doing it in the presence of your enemies. Can you say amen? And he wants you to come to that table because he wants to feed you. Can you say amen? Listen, the Bible said, feed the flock of God over whom the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. He wants to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Above all, he wants you to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to be filled with the love of God that passes knowledge. Can you say amen? That you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. To know that love, Paul had to know it. He couldn't doubt it for a moment. He said, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. He kept his focus on Jesus dying for him. And he said, there's nothing that can happen to me or that anyone can do to me that is greater than what he's done for me when he took my place on the cross. Can you say amen? He doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. And yet he blesses me anyway. Did you know God doesn't owe you anything after giving his son for you? But he blesses you in anyway. Beyond anything that he owes you. Why should God owe you? We owe him big time.
Yes, we do.
We're his purchased possession. We should give ourselves away because we're not our own. He bought us. He paid for us. Doug's handle online is doulos. And is the Greek word. Everywhere servant is used. It's a very weak term in the King James. It's the best word they could come up with at the time. But doulos, the word for servant. Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ is rendered in the King James. Doulos means slave. Literally, I am committing myself to this master. I'm giving him full control. And I'm doing it out of love. Amen? I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it out of love. Jesus is Lord of my life because I love him. Jesus talked about the acceptable year of the Lord. Any reference Bible will shoot you straight back to the year of Jubilee. At closing, I'm going to tell you this. The year, say it, Jubilee.
Jubilee.
The year of Jubilee is when slaves, bond slaves, because they owed debts. Back then, if you couldn't pay a debt, you had to work it out. And sometimes it took years. If you defaulted on a debt, you had to literally become a farmhand to somebody. Without wages. They give you your food and shelter, but you had to work for them every day and 5, 6, 7 years. But there came a time in Israel when all the debts were canceled. Everybody say glory. What would happen if it happened today if all your debts were suddenly canceled right today? Even Ditter smiled. And I didn't know Ditter had big debts like that, but even she's grinning back there. She don't. She's just smiling because she could borrow from us. Amen. Now that we're debt free. Amen. There's always a reason to have joy in God's house. Amen. What if all your debts were suddenly canceled? Every debt. Amen. And you were free. And they gave you money and give you your freedom, and you can go and build or do whatever you want to do. Some of those jubilant bond slaves had been in a household where they were treated like family. They were loved by a good master. And they said, where could we go and have it any better than serving this guy? Oh, by the way, for you that say, I don't serve nobody. There's a whole bunch of people just like you down in the county jail. I used to go there and minister to them. They're their own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. I told them that. I said, the devil has sold you a bill of goods. You're sitting in here with your tattoo and your attitude and saying, nobody tells me what to do. I said, you better take another look at where you are. Somebody going to tell you what to eat. Oh, no, you're not going to order what you want. You're going to eat that big old bologna sandwich. Or go hungry. Somebody going to tell you when to get up. Somebody going to tell you when to go to bed like your mommy used to do. bow to the Lord. He tells me what to do.
Yes.
I want it that way.
Oh, yes. Oh,
back
yes.
Then, Malcolm Beard was the sheriff of Hillsborough County. They tell me what to do. They tell me to stop at stop signs. I stop. Because somebody tells me what to do. Amen. Can you say, man, I'm blessed. I go home, my wife tells me what to do.
Not true.
Not true. Yeah, no, yeah, no. Someone said, beware of the man that says he's the head of his house. He may tell other lies. Then you say, don't you laugh too loud. Amen. God wants the man to be head, but he wants it. That's a whole other thing. We won't go there this morning. It's too complicated. But God is good. We have a partnership, and it's working for 48 years. Glory to God. 2 more years, it'll be the big 5-0. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're going to cruise to the Alfire River on an inner tube or something. Got big plans. Big plans for our 50th. Tubing down the Alfire, fighting the skeeters and watching our feet from the alligators biting them off. God has been so good. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we couldn't have made it this far. We couldn't have stayed in ministry. We would not be here this morning. God's grace is sufficient. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. The Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from mine enemies. Amen. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Can you say amen? In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When men cast out your name as evil and tell all manner of lies about you, if it's for righteousness' sake, how hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Beware when all men speak well of you, for they spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. Amen. But when you suffer persecution for my sake, hallelujah, rejoice. God's prepared a table. Rejoice. 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 Some of you can't rejoice today. And yet the Bible says rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say, rejoice. You say, I ain't got nothing to rejoice about. Rejoice when they talk about you. Because they're going to talk about you. All you got to do is live godly. And your enemies can't run away from all of them. They shall be they of your own household. Everybody say, diddle-doo-doo. Diddle-doo-doo. Your own household. Your own household. That somehow or another, some way or another, you have to communicate with. You can't just pull the shades, lock the doors, get a big dog like Terry's. Amen. Put up a 6-foot chain link fence with a sign on it, pit bull with AIDS. Can't run away. You got to interact. So we've got to be able to get past the hurt, get past the circumstances that scream, if God loved you, that wouldn't be happening. No, God loves you no matter what has happened.
That's right.
And if you need more than the cross, then you've never really appreciated what He did on that cross. If God did nothing else but send His Son to hang on that cross, literally in Him, die for me, I should serve Him with everything I have and everything I am if He never did another thing for me down in this earth. Because He has purchased my eternal redemption, my eternal salvation. Can you say, man, He suffered and died for me? But oh, He did more than that. He brought me into His family. He calls me His son and you His daughter if you're a lady. Can you say amen? And he loves us with the same love where he loved his son. And everything he said, the Father, everything that the Father has is mine. And he will take of mine and shew it, S-H-E-W, not show it, S-H-O-W, but S-H-E-W, which means communicate it to you. Not just let you see it, but communicate it to you. Can you say that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul said, no, this is not going to stop me. No, this is not going to stunt me. No, this is not going to keep me from fulfilling the heavenly vision, because nothing hurts me. Nothing gets to me. No, he said, nothing can separate me. No matter what gets to me and hurts me, it can't separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And that's what got him up from a stoning and found him preaching the gospel instead of licking his wounds and questioning heaven. Amen? Oh, I expect that if I told you about all of my scars, we'd be here a long time. Someone asked us the other day, she said, where were we, Sister Bill? We were somewhere, and somebody said, how y'all doing, or something. And I remember it was one of those days, you know, when I was having to face some things, and I thought, you don't really have time. And you really don't want to know. I mean, honestly, do you really want to sit down and let me unload all of this? I don't think so. But you know something? There's someone with time. There's someone you can unload to. And he wants you to unload. He calls it casting your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I love a scripture as we close. It said, pour your hearts out before him. That means you don't have to act strong or act big. Or you be honest. When my heart's overwhelmed. Not if. It's going to happen. Amen? But when it happens, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. He prepares for me a table in the presence of my enemies. You'll never get away from the fact that you have an enemy that wants to do you harm. But you have a God who has set himself to be your refuge and your strength, present help, the time of trouble. He wants you to look to Jesus on the cross. Not just look to Jesus for strength. Look to Jesus on the cross. Consider him in this way, that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be what? What a lot of people are this morning. Weary in your own mind. Yes. Poor me is your song instead of thank you, Jesus. Yes. And the more you sing that blues, the more the devil tightens the screws. Yes. Amen. Pastor Buster Rhyme, but it's true this morning. Can you say amen? The more you sing the blues, the more he tightens the screws, because he says it's working, it's working. Don't let up on them now. They're already crying the blues instead of singing God's praise. Amen. Already. They have forgot what he's done on the cross, and they're focused squarely on their hurt instead of his suffering and death. And as long as you focus on your hurt, you can't be looking at his suffering for you. But when you start looking at his suffering for you, your hurt is not going to be like it was. It's going to shrink very quickly. And he'll pour oil and wine in the wound. And the wound that is infected, painful, will heal. It will leave a scar. But I'm going to tell you something about a scar. Anyone ever had a surgery? I'm not asking you to show your scar. I'm just saying, has anyone had a major surgery? Do you have a scar? What does that scar represent? Does it represent something that's hurt or something that's been healed? It represents a healing. I have scars emotionally, personally, but I'm going to tell you, every one of them represents the oil and wine that has been poured in down through the years. So I have to bring these things to mind. And I'm so glad, amen, that they are in my past. Praise God. And the things that are in my presence are going to soon be in my past. God is a gracious and good God today. I'm going to ask you a personal question before we close. How many people in here have wounds that have not healed yet? Would you raise your hand? You've got wounds that haven't healed yet. Raise them up. It's okay to be honest here this morning in the presence of God. You've got wounds that have not healed yet. How many want those wounds healed? You want them healed. You're tired of the hurt and the pain that you carry. How many have anger? And I don't want you to raise your hand. But anger is now troubling you. The root of bitterness keeps trying to spring up. Every time you think of the hurt, the bitterness wants to pour out. God sees that and He wants to help you with it today. God wants to help you with it today. God wants you to go free today. He wants to prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. He wants to heal that place so that anger would just go. He wants you to do something that only with His help you could do. He wants you to forgive the people who hurt you. He wants you, listen, maybe they'll keep being ugly to you. Maybe you can't have a relationship with them because of that. But that feeling of anger has to go for the healing to take place. It's hurting you, believe it or not, more than it is that person. If you give it to God, your healing will come today. But you've got to look past your hurt and look to Him on the cross and say, Jesus, what You've done for me, so much greater than what anybody did to me. I'm not going to let the devil steal my song. I'm not going to let him take my joy. I'm not going to let him interrupt my peace. I'm not going to let him make me lose my vision of what You've called me to accomplish for You and to be for You. I love You, Jesus. I love You too much to let this get in the way of that precious, intimate, personal relationship. That's why I'm in the pulpit this morning. That's the only reason I'm here. It sure ain't for the money. It's sure not for the fame. Amen? I love Jesus. And He loves you. And God sent me to feed you. You that are hungry. You that want to be fed.
Yes, amen.
You that are faithful. You that show up. Can you say amen so that God can help
amen.
You? Hallelujah. If you're consistent, God will feed you. He'll prepare you a table. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to cope with whatever you're facing, because what you eat at God's table will strengthen you for whatever you have to face in your life. And the first thing He'll do is establish you in His love, His grace, and His mercy. Hallelujah. We love you today. How many want to fulfill the heavenly vision? Whatever God has for you to accomplish down in this old world. Amen. Wave at me if you want to fulfill that. You know what we're praying on Sunday night? We're praying for the Lord to do it. We're asking Him to rend the heavens and come down. Hallelujah. And God to save the lost. God to restore marriages. God to bring backsliders back to Him. My heart breaks over backslidden people, but we're praying that God will bring them back. Amen. Amen. You say, Brother Bimbo, but their hearts are cold. Well, yours was awful cold when He saved you. And it was hard on top of that. But He melted that hard heart and He heated up that cold heart and He drew you by His Spirit and you came. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Because God saved me and you, it means He can save others. We're going to have a song in just a moment, but right now I'm going to ask a question before we do. Anyone in here, and God has saw these hands and hearts, healing is going to flow here today. Anyone in here that you need to know Christ as your Savior, would you lift your hand? Anyone in this room that God has called? All right, everyone that raised your hand, how many of you now believe that God wants to do this work in your life? That He wants to heal that today? Praise God. That He wants to love you so mightily that all the hurt is just loved out of you by Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that oil and wine by the Holy Spirit is being poured into those wounds. Praise God. I believe it's happening. And because we're getting our hearts clear and clean before the Lord, I believe God is going to answer the intercessory prayers that we are praying here on Sunday night and Sunday morning. And I believe we're going to see people come back to God. I believe we're going to see families restored. I believe in that revival Joel saw, that he said, I saw the heart of the fathers turning back to the children and the heart of the children turning back to the fathers. I saw that happening because God is sending that former and latter rain in a season. Can you say amen? And it involves families being restored. Everybody say families being restored. Relationships being restored. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the lost being saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to see some mighty things if we let God cleanse our hearts. Fill us at His table. Revive us and replenish us. Refresh us. Hallelujah. Give us back our joy.
Yeah.
And our strength. Hallelujah, Brother Taylor. Amen. What shall the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed, Brother Taylor taught us? Amen. We're going to keep trusting God. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to go back. We're not going to give up. Hallelujah. God is still on the throne. And there's a song out there and it just says, Lord, do it. Lord, just do it. Hallelujah. We're trusting You. We're believing You. We're interceding. Now, Lord, do it. Can you say amen? Let's worship with some church up in the panhandle. And let's ask God to do it. How many need Him to do it? Praise God.